Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. Speaking of which, we've got the guy who makes HVU Insider happen, and that is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Jim? Glad to be back on the show. Another week closer to spring game, blue-white coming up. Getting, it's fun seeing all the games and how every school is kind of functioning and operating spring, because it's different. The spring games are just different than, you know, a couple years ago even. Definitely different from when I was playing in the 2000s. Like, that was it was such a big deal. And now it's just massed with like a bunch of different, you know, events, and it's a practice 7-on-7 basically. But yeah, one more week closer to that, but a lot of things going on.
There really is. And while we're just on the topic of the blue white game, I'm saying here with air quotes, game. And just full disclosure, I hate that it's not a game anymore, Mike. I get it. I understand. Specifically, I understand with Penn State, you know, it feels like the entire roster is, well, they're coming off an injury, they're going to be fine. However, it feels like half the roster is in that situation. But I got to tell you, I want to see a game.
Yeah, I think everybody does. But I think that's why when you look around the country and you're looking at these games on TV that have televised, like the crowds really aren't great. But at least last week, you know, the weather, especially in the Midwest, Northeast, wasn't great. So that didn't help. But I just think it not being a game, it makes people less motivated to really go into the actual game, I think. But I think, you know, people are going to show up to especially if it's nice, to tailgate and get one of those in. This is one of my favorite spring games that I've been around, just because the fans, it feels like they come out of hibernation and everybody's excited to tailgate and get things rolling again. And it's always been one of my favorites, just because, I mean, Penn State's tailgating scene is one of the best in the country. So it's always good when we have an opportunity to tailgate.
Oh, so many years when the weather's been good, it's, you know, 70,000 people. The tailgating is great. It's a phenomenal day, you know, when all those things come together.
Yeah, the students, you know, senioritis is coming in. You know, a lot of people are getting ready to graduate. You know, it's just really pretty on campus, you know. All the flowers are blooming and everything. It's just, it's really nice. The vibe is always great. Last week, the vibe was crazy. I forgot it was like the community bar crawl weekend or something. And somebody, I think Jay Paterno, tweeted it out like 9:30 at Doggies. It was like a line like a mile long. So, but yeah, you have the kids, you know, and then the parents coming back. It's just such a good time. Such a good time.
Well, just as an aside here, you know, I live in Bloomsburg, Bloomsburg University. Well, it's not the school. They're very quick to say, this is not sponsored by the town. This is not sponsored by the school, but it's their weekend party that they get out. And like you said, before they hit finals and all of that. And it's just the locals like myself, we just avoid going downtown. It's just, you just don't do it. But to add to it, to your point, it was this past Saturday when it was still 70 some degrees and a beautiful day. Like I said, all the more reason for us old guys to just avoid it. But mentioning the game or practice, Blue White Weekend next weekend, HVU Insider, tell us a little bit about the event coming up. You have these contests, which sound like so much fun. You get enough points. It's going to be spending some time with you next week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, my wife was making fun of me because, like, we look at the entries for it, and it was like up to like 8,000 entries, which was great. You know, this is our second sweepstakes that we're doing with this platform, something that, you know, since we launched almost a month ago, this is will be a staple, is the sweepstakes part of the platform. You're able to go on and enter entries to win the sweepstakes. This one, it's basically a day with me for the blue-white game. So you'll hang out with me, you know, from the time in the morning. We'll get a chance to eat together, talk ball, talk Penn State football. We'll go to the facilities, take them around the facilities. And obviously, when you're just with me throughout the day, you're going to bump into a lot of people, a lot of the coaches, staff you'll meet. Then we'll go to the Beaver Stadium during practice, or it's the game, blue-white practice. We'll go on the field, take you around, and just really just enjoy the day, the spring, the blue-white spring game that I was just talking about that I love and I think is pretty special, especially if the weather's pretty good. Last year, the weather wasn't, like, great. It was a little windy. On the chilly side. I think that kept a little bit some fans from coming out, but hopefully this weather is going to be great like we had this past weekend. And it will be fun. The first sweepstakes that we did was the pro day. A fan, his father and his son were able to hang out with me and during pro day. We gave him some gear, gave him some hats and some signed merch and stuff. And then they were able to bump into some people that were in there, and some players and some coaches, some scouts. And it was a really cool event. And honestly, like, I posted something about it last week, just promoting it, that you know, just being a part of something like that is pretty cool. Like, for me, like, I got into recruiting this first stint in 15, and I really fell in love with the relationship piece and getting to know recruits and seeing them when they actually commit and them go through a process and a family just, like, being happy. Like, that, there's something to that drove me to really want to continue to be in this business. Then, like, I had an opportunity to be a part of that, where this kid never was in Huluba and seeing these big football players, Drew Allar and all these guys, and Denai, and, like, you could just tell, like, it's something that they'll never forget. And it's really awesome being part of something like that. So we'll always be trying to do something like that. And this one is coming up this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. And Jim, I think you're going to be hanging out with me too, right?
Oh, yeah. I invited myself to join you. So and yeah. The reason why, well, let me explain to the folks why I got to hang out with you. OK, I've been to Huluba. I've been to Lash with you and just hung out with you. We always have a good time. OK, we always do. And seeing some of the stuff at Lash, it's so much fun. If you've never been there before, there's so many things that are so cool to see. And just as an aside, Mike is fun to hang with. So that's why I invited myself to come along. And I hope, Mike, that me being along doesn't turn people off from trying to get on it. But trust me, you'll have a good time. It's always fun to hang with Mike. Get to kind of that inside. You get behind the curtain a little bit, see what's going on. It's a fantastic experience. I've enjoyed it every time. I've been to a practice with Mike. That is fun. You know, you get to hear now, and I always feel like I got to remind people of this. Mike's been in this business. He's been a recruiter. He knows how it works. He knows how to watch the game a little bit different than us lay people. So I've learned a lot from him, and you get the chance to do that also. So I'm a big advocate of it. I'm a big advocate of just hanging with Mike. So,
well, I appreciate that, Jim. It's
always lots of fun. But when we talk about this, Mike, this, you know, the blue-white event coming up. But what gets forgotten is that is the final practice. Spring practice has been going on. But not just that. This is prime recruiting time. So it's like on the weekends. And you're part of this, a boatload of visitors come in these past few weeks, haven't there?
Yeah, a ton. This staff has been doing a great job. It's, you know, it's well reported about all the different kind of kids that are coming in with the platform that we started rolling out with HVU Insider. We try to focus on the guys that are really prospects or the real dudes. Not that the guys that are here that I don't mention are, but these are the guys that are usually the older guys, the 27s, the 28s that were like top guys. And so I like to put a focus on those guys. But yeah, every weekend it's been packed with studs. And this past weekend probably was the icing on the cake for this phase. Because the spring game, it's like a game, right? So it's a different type of visit for the kids versus when they've been coming these past weekends. Because the past weekends, it's more intimate. There's more time for the coaches, right, to set up meetings, set up lunches, dinners, and stuff with their families. Now you have a game, right? You have the blue-white festivity. You have all of these different media obligations that Coach Campbell and everybody's going to be have to go to and attend. But you know, they'll work around that and it'll still be a great visit. This one, you're really able to highlight the atmosphere, the tailgating scene that I always talk about makes this place so much different than other places I've been. So they get to see that, get a feel for the atmosphere. And then obviously going in the stadium is always a bonus. And what's really neat, you get to see kind of the renovation and how that's kind of turning out. I was at the soccer game this past weekend with my family, and it was really neat kind of to see how that's kind of turning out. But yeah, this weekend will kind of end this cycle, this phase of the spring visit junior days. And then the guys are going to hit the road. April 15th started the recruiting period where these coaches can start hitting the road until I think it's like May 31st. You know, it will turn into basically an official visit season. So yeah, that's kind of the timeline that we've been working on and kind of what we got looking forward to.
That's fantastic, Mike. It's interesting because for this coaching staff, and I know other places coaching staffs change. It's interesting because everything changes. The transfer portal, you lose so many guys that way. You bring so many guys in. You try to salvage a class of 26, then as soon as you're done with that, you have to jump into class of 27, and you're already behind in doing that. So I know a lot of fans were very leery. It felt like for the longest time, oh my goodness, there's no 27 commits. Well, guess what? In the last 3 weeks or so, in fact, I had to change my notes for this show. I had it, well, the current class of 8, whoops, cross out 8, make 9. We're going to start talking about that class when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. And Mike, we didn't mention this in the first quarter. I wanted to bring it up now. We've been doing some of these very cool events. We've been doing this together at the Pine Grove Hall. Great place, by the way. Absolutely great place. We've done a couple of these now where we get some of the players in, get to interview them. It's been fantastic. And we got another one coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we got another one coming up April 29th, I believe, Jim, right?
Yes.
And like you said, and we've been talking about this, this location is really cool. Really glad we were able to make it work. And I feel like we got lucky and we found each other this property because it's just perfect. It's a nice intimate setting. It's a restaurant, bar, great menu, stage, lighting, sound, everything's like really cool, top of the line, and just a really cool setting. what was really neat about these shows is, like, we had Cooper Alexander on our first show. I believe he was on the first one. He's the tight end transfer from Iowa State, from Oklahoma, and we're recruiting his brother. And a lot of people don't know about him, right? And then he comes on. You guys do a great job talking to Cooper, talking about the transition, meeting the guys that have returned from Penn State, how they helped each other. And then just people just don't know a lot about him yet, right? And then Coach Campbell comes out in one of his interviews last week and talks about how he's been killing it, right? And now he's – now people are like, oh, we heard him talk at Pine Grove Hall. Jim asked him his favorite ice cream, and he said this. And, like, that's what's really neat about this, when you see it all kind of work out. This is kind of the vision I had for it, and I know you and Chris also. So it's really cool seeing that type of stuff happen. And V is another one, interior offensive lineman that you guys will definitely know about and we'll be talking about when we had him on our show, just because he's such an awesome personality. And the other, what we had, other four, other Barker and Omarion, and those guys were great. These kids are awesome. You guys do a phenomenal job with it. So I'm excited just to keep this show going. So April 29th, I'll have the players here this week. We'll be able to promote what guys we'll have on this show. But yeah, come out. And what's really neat too is you get to talk to, I guess if it's a good thing, but you get to talk to me, Jim, you, Chris, and like we all love Penn State and we all kind of come from a different Penn State background. So it's just really cool. I've been staying out, staying after having a beer with you and Chris and just talking to guys like Greg and just fans, and we're just talking, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a great environment, and it's a casual environment. As you said, you get to hear the players talk. This is not, hey, how come you missed that block, you know, kind of interview. It's just in general, you get a chance to meet these players. They're a lot of fun. And I always said the two things that I walk away from with these, my two things that I constantly get is, number one, you can be proud as a Penn Stater. These kids, they've been fantastic. They really have. So likable. And the second thing, and I think it stems from that, number one, you'll watch games a little bit differently when that player comes in, because you feel like you know them. You're not just, you know, the saying, rooting for the laundry. You're not just rooting for someone because they wear a blue jersey. You're rooting for them because you got to know them a little bit and talk to them. And, you know, the story, we got to talk to Ryan Barker about his game-winning kick against USC in 24. And he had a fun interview afterwards, and we got to ask him about it. And his response and his story about it, and just his whole story was incredible, how he ended up becoming a kicker and ending up at Penn State. Those are things you don't get everywhere, but you get here. So I highly recommend it. Wednesday, April 29th. What do we start, like at 6:30 or so? Come on out.
Yeah, 6:30. Enjoy. Yep.
Have a really good beer. Have a good meal. You'll enjoy it. And you get to meet me and Mike. So what could be better? Anyway, Mike, we're talking about this. These last several weeks has been huge for recruiting, 9 commits. Before we get into the individual players and get your take on them, just talking in general, this whole new staff comes in. They're a little bit behind time-wise in putting this 27 class together. But it's interesting and kind of a fun thing. We're seeing some of these leftover recruits from their Iowa State days. When was the last time Penn State had one recruiting class with a player from South Dakota, a player from Iowa, a player from Minnesota? It's an interesting class.
Yeah, it is. And you can see those relationships that they had at Iowa, Iowa State, really helping us. You know, these guys are good people. When you meet them, you're going to meet them and you're going to think, man, these are good dudes, right? And so those type of relationships just don't vanish from Iowa State and those people out there, right? And here at Penn State, we should be able to recruit nationally like this, right? People come in, like look at Darius Dixon from all the way from California, comes in from a prominent school. Like we should be able to do that. But yeah, it's really neat. Somebody from South Dakota. Is he the first player from South Dakota on Penn State's roster? This would be a Chris question.
It would be a perfect question for Chris. I know they've had from Minnesota, but I don't know about and I know they've had from Iowa. I don't know about South Dakota. That's why I phrased it the way I did. All three of those places in one recruiting class, I feel pretty safe to say, Mike, that's not happened before, though.
Yeah, and again, we're in different times. I always talk about it. I think we're just at the beginning stages of the evolution of how we look at recruiting. And, you know, so I think, you know, in the industry and what people have been, you know, used to the old way of recruiting, you know, you're looking at rankings, you're looking at stars, which is fun, and it's still valid. You know, we have, I think, 9 recruits committed now. And like at this point, like a lot of questions from people out there about if Matt Campbell and the staff can recruit. Well, guy has like a top 15 class in the country right now when you talk about rankings and stars. So I think that fits that. I think that helps people feel settled when it comes to, is this staff going to be able to recruit? From me, my standpoint, looking at it, the way that I look at it, they're, each kid is intentional. It's calculated, and each kid is a dude in its own right and a good fit for Penn State moving forward. And now with that, there are some stars and some rankings with that. So that's great. It takes care of that too. But a lot of these guys, that are ranked, you know, 3 stars or whatnot. This is the stage where a lot of guys are 3 stars, right? The Pat Freiermuths and the Abdul Carters and whatnot are 3 stars at this point. But you look at the film and you trust the film, they're going to be 4 stars and high-ranking guys when it comes to the industry stuff like that. And Owen Riley, one of the guys that we just got from Bel Air, Maryland, like I told you this off air. I was like, I love recruiting. I've always loved recruiting offensive linemen, and I love this kid. And he's only a 3 star, but he is a 4. His film is 4 or 5 star, man. Like he's a road grader. He's a wrestler. He has that prick to him. Like I know I'm already kind of going in the evaluation with him because I love his tape. And he's kind of a guy that kind of swept under the radar a little bit. Just on the scene, he's got a ton of offers, but you know, just the type of kid you want in a program. And based off everything since I've been here, getting to know this staff and who and how they're going to recruit, this kid fits this staff and this culture moving forward. So really, really happy about the recruiting that's going on here. I'm really glad to be able to, you know, help out and cover it. You know, there's so many good kids here. That we can talk about. And I'm going to be rolling out a series that kind of breaks down each one. And like, obviously there's a lot of things that you can, you know, see on film that, you know, everybody sees, but then also like talk about how does they fit? What is the long-term projection, right? That's an important piece more so now than ever because of money, right? So like linemen, you aren't going to be coming in right away, probably. So that's dead money, essentially, that you're going to be sitting on. So you got to really be able to look at the long-term projection and when you're going to get a return on these guys. So that's also something that's really cool to me to kind of look at and that lens and try to put myself in, you know, Derek Hoosier's shoes and what he's got to what he's tasked with, which to say he's doing a great job is just short changing him. He's doing a phenomenal job. And obviously I'm a Penn State fan and I have connections and relationships in there. So people probably think I'm a homer, but I honestly haven't seen somebody be able to take all these different elements that he has to handle. Like Derek Hoosier is handling the cap, handling agents, handling parents, handling the recruits, handling the front office, handling the expectations with the administration and Coach Campbell. It's really impressive to see how he's doing this. And he's doing it in a way that they want to do it, slow and right, and it's working. So I think Penn State fans should be excited. But we're also – Penn State fans, also when you're looking at these rosters, look at it from, like, how things are changing. Like, all right, why are we taking – like, take your – the mindset, okay, he's a three-star, okay, cool. Well, look at it, okay, look at his film. All right, what is this staff looking for? You know, where are our needs in 1 to 2 years, 3 years? Like, look at it like from that standpoint, also is what I'm saying. And you'll see, you'll kind of get a picture as time goes on is like, oh, what these guys are actually looking for. Now, the safety, Jonathan Gillette out of New Jersey that we just got a commitment over the past weekend, he doesn't really fit the long mold at safety. But he's a dude. So I always say, like, if they don't fit the mold from like a physical standpoint, they must be elite somewhere else. This guy doesn't really have an elite trait. More so, he's an elite football, all around football player. And you kind of see that on film. He's all over the place. He can hit you. He can drop in coverage. He can play linebacker. He can play in the box. He can blitz. He can do it all. So he can cover you one on one. He can be maybe that nickel guy for us, but yeah, really good football player too. Also a three-star too, I think. But
he is. I'll tell you why. I'm going to cut you off because we're hitting the hard break. But this is what I want to hear more about, these individual players, and get your take on them, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll do that as soon as we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, we're talking about recruiting, and it seems like we can't get away from this, you know, the stars. And, you know, I always like to say it means something, the star rating. It just doesn't mean everything. And I go back to a story. Ross Tucker on the show one time, I asked him the question, you know, it was about quarterbacks. And I said, what's the difference between a three-star quarterback and a four-star? And he said, oftentimes, and he held his thumb and index finger 2 inches apart. He said, that's the difference. This guy's 6'2", that one's 6'4". If you're 6'4", you get the fourth star. If you're 6'2", you don't. And I always think of that when you talk about this evaluation of players, because some of it is, you know, do they physically hit the profile correctly? You know, you want the 4'4" running back, not the 4'5" running back, if you make a choice, you know. But it misses a lot of the things. And that just leads me to the question. You're someone who scouts, who evaluates. And I know you've done this with a couple of the positions. Give me an example. Take a position. Tell us what you look for that maybe other folks don't.
I'll take you. So when I'm looking at offensive linemen, I'm looking for footwork. I'm looking for athleticism and feet. And I remember I would always tell guys, I'm looking for, like, when I'm coaching up interns and film guys in my staff in the past, I would say, look for power forwards, NBA power forwards. perfect guy that I remember watching. He was out of Mississippi. His name was Charles Cross. You know, in Mississippi, there's a lot of, like, holes that just don't get recruited well. So you fall on, like, a Charles Cross that just looks like a deer running out there and looks like a power forward and ends up being, like, he didn't even have any stars. And then he ended up being a five-star and just signed his second contract in the NFL. But you're looking for athleticism, feet, right? Is the kid able to bend? If the guy's slow-footed in high school, it's really hard to like develop fast feet. It's like a guy that runs a 4.8. Yeah, he could probably come in and develop and train and work his way up to 4.6 or something like that. But like a guy with slow feet isn't going to end up being like a real fast-footed guy when he leaves. More likely than not. There's probably some outliers, but that's the first thing. And twitch. So those two things really kind of coincide together. You're looking for fast feet, and like when that ball's that ball is snapped, is he twitching? Is he firing off the ball, right? And then is he have enough athleticism, you know, to gather himself and make blocks on the second level and in his space is really big. So you look like at you look at Vanga, and like Vanga's like that's like a perfect like definition of being able to block in space with yeah. motion outside any pancakes at DB. That's really hard for a big lineman that's 300 plus pounds to gather themselves versus a 109 very athletic DB and lock himself up with them, let alone pancake them, you know. So that's what you're getting, that's what you're looking for in offensive lineman is fast feet, right? Twitch, and then they got to have some prick though, man. They gotta play mean. And like sometimes like when you're looking at the film, a lot of these guys are still underdeveloped. They got a lot of that baby fat that you're talking about. And they might not be there strength wise, but you see it out of the effort, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see if he plays with a prick, he's playing through the whistle. Is he trying to bury the guy? If you don't see that, that doesn't always mean that the guy isn't, you know, a prick. The guy just may be more of a technician, but you want to see that fire in the film, especially with Coach Clanton. This guy wants ball movers or movers, right? Yeah. Like he does not want he keeps it real simple. I think obviously he's a savant at what he does from a technician standpoint, but with football and O lineman, his mentality right now is just be a prick, man. He wants dogs only. And that's what you're getting now, the Owen Riley kid, the first offensive lineman commit that we got. And I think we'll be really happy if we get a ton of guys with that same kind of makeup that he has. I got to talk to his coach, Coach Siegel, at Bel Air. And obviously, he had nothing but good things to say about Owen off the field, which when a guy really talks about off the field stuff more so than on the field, that means you're usually getting a pretty good kid. And offensive lineman, that's a blue collar job, man. You have to have a different mentality to be an offensive lineman and defense lineman. So based off of everything, the film, talking to Coach Clanton's feedback, Jackson Brown, the assistant offensive line coach, his feedback. This is a really good one. And it's a really good one because right now I look at this, like when we talk about stars, this phase of the recruiting cycle, there's so many three stars, right?
Yeah.
Because they just don't know about them completely yet, right? So there's all these three stars. I look at this like it's the NFL in the middle rounds. The middle rounds is where you make your money, right? So that's kind of how I compare this phase is to the NFL is like they're going to make their money. The GMs are going to get hired and fired off of those third, fourth rounders that end up being Pro Bowlers or, you know, 10-year vets. So that's what I kind of look at this now. Like, we're making our money. I keep thinking about Pat Freiermuth, but when he called me, he was a three-star. Nobody liked him, right? And that there's just a lot of the guys like that. So this is where a lot of GMs and evaluations, especially now these front offices, they get to really kind of trust their evaluations, and then they got to sell that to the coaches, and everybody's got to trust their eval, even if they're not a four or five star. But that's what the staff's doing, and I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about all of these players.
I like the analogy to the NFL and the draft. The first round picks, those are the five stars. Those are the easy ones.
Yeah.
Everyone knows they're great players.
And you still can get high. You get fired off of those two, right?
Oh yeah.
But usually those guys should. Those are you're able to project those guys a little bit easier.
Yes. Well, I tell you, something you talked about with that the footwork. You mentioned Vega. I have a friend of mine who's not a Penn State guy at all. He's an NFL fan. And Vega's name came up as a possibility for his team. And he was asking me about him. And it's like, that's a pretty big guy. How does he move? Well, let me tell you. They put him in motion, and he finds linebackers and DBs to block. I'd say the footwork's pretty good.
Yeah, and at Pro Day, just something that stood out to me is just how flexible he is. His hips, his knees, ankles, he's just very flexible. He looks very comfortable, you know, squatted down in his stance. I think he would actually be probably – in a top five, top 10 pick if he had some position flex, but I think he's slated as an interior only guy.
Yeah.
But that's why he's going to be one of the first interior guys off the board. Twitch, flexibility. Obviously Vega's got a prick to him. He's the total package.
And do you know what? It's funny you say that about positional flexibility, which is great, and we all know the value of tackles. But I just recently read an article about how interior offensive linemen are gaining in value now, that there's been some teams who've invested in it, and it's made a huge difference. But the other position, before we get into a couple more individuals, the quarterback position is always so important. Again, the analogy to the NFL, the New York Jets, for example, they got a bazillion high picks in the next 2 years. They traded away a lot of talent to get all those picks. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson, who famously traded Herschel Walker for a boatload of picks, and he just built a dynasty through doing that way. I digress. But the one point that was made is, if they don't get a quarterback, it doesn't matter. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit, though, about quarterback. You've got to get at least one quarterback in each class. Can you talk a little bit about the players that the quarterbacks who are being talked about that Penn State is looking at?
Yeah, I think the big two names is Mensel, who was here, California product, and then Peter Bork, who everybody gets really excited about, who's kind of going on you know, his visits right now. But those were the two big ones that visited the past 2 weeks. I think this is a phase where, you want a quarterback, right? But it's a little different now because quarterbacks, like they're not coming in and sitting for 3 years behind a player, right? Yeah. So you got to have a quarterback that's comfortable with what they're walking into. So I think with our situation, we have Rocco Beck, who's out of eligibility after this year. So it's a pretty good looking situation for other guys, for quarterbacks, right? These high school quarterbacks to come in, but we also have a young talent room that's going to develop too. So how they develop from now till the end of the season will also depend on what we do in that room. So right now, you know, we're trying to land a high school quarterback, but say we don't land a high school quarterback, a Peter or a Will or somebody else. All right. Well, then that we have the opportunity to really target somebody in the portal come the portal. Right. That kind of makes up for it a little bit. You don't want to miss. Right. You want a highly touted guy. Don't get me wrong. I think I messaged this to somebody on the boards last week. Like, we want a Peter. We want a Will. That'd be great. But also there's financial implications that you got to think about. Like that's what the staff is also thinking about, because that's the highest earner, right? That's the most money that you got to allocate is to that position. So that's the most dead money that you're going to potentially be sitting on, depending on what that room looks like. So if Peter or another 2027 quarterback doesn't land in this class, I wouldn't panic, because you get to look at what the other quarterbacks are doing in the room, not named Rocco, and how they developing, because those quarterbacks are pretty good. I've seen them in spring practice. Like, they're pretty good quarterbacks. A lot of people just don't know about them yet. But if say the staff doesn't feel comfortable with, you know, the future of that room, I think regardless, they're going to look for a portal player. I know a lot of players, a lot of staffs are looking at quarterback position differently.
All right. That's it for quarter number three. When we come back, I want to talk tight end with you.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim. He's Mike. Mike, so much to cover when we talk about recruiting and positional. We were wrapping up quarter three, you know, talking about the quarterback position, and that has really changed over these last couple of years. You have a team, Indiana, who's been a playoff team the last 2 years, national champion last year. They're coming up in their third year in a row where they're not having they're bringing in a portal quarterback for the third time. And as I've always said, they're 2 for 2 so far. They're shooting for 3 for 3 on their portal quarterbacks, aren't they? It's a new avenue to fill that position.
Yeah, just like the whole recruiting angles and how you go about it has just completely changed the last 2-3 years, and it continues to evolve. And the staffs that are adapting to it are doing well. So everybody's different, right? I remember, so going into this pre-NIL, pre-portal, essentially, every staff has basically allocated how many scholarship players out of that 85 at that time that they wanted on the roster, right? And most of the time, it's like 4 to 5 that you want on that roster. But now the portal, once the portal became such a thing, it's like, well, do we take a portal player and do we take a portal player every year, whether or not that portal player is supposed to be somebody that comes in and starts right away, or that player just comes in and is a liable backup, right? That's what you have to look at when you're looking at your roster, but every room is completely different. So you got to look at every school's specific room and how is it structured, who's graduating, who's developed. Who have we taken the previous year? How are they developing? And you just want some kind of consistency in there because it's gonna be somewhat of a revolving door every year, right? Like so that 5-star kid, if he doesn't come in and play after his second year, he's probably not there, right? Yeah. There's probably another school that will make him the number one and probably financially monetize that player similarly, right, or even better. So it's a different game at that quarterback position. I posted something on the boards, an interesting article. It was an On3 article on the GM that is at LSU now. And it wasn't just about him. It was just about what they're doing and how they're approaching everything from an analytical standpoint because there's so much money riding on every commit now, right? And collectively that you have to be making these decisions based on evaluation so much that it's taking over what people are taking kids for now versus what they maybe have taken them in the past. Just like taking a lower rank, say high school kid, because he comes from a good school or, you know, we have a really good tie to that coach, so we want to do a favor because that happens in every class. I don't think that's a thing anymore. So that's why you're seeing like the Mike Farrells of the world trying to make a dollar off these guys because the high school recruiting it's becoming different, right? You're not, these colleges aren't taking as many high school kids as they used to. Naturally, because you have the portal, right? So it's just a different way to looking at it. And back to the quarterback position, that's very different because there's so much money allocated to that position now.
Well, I think it's the getting closer and closer to how an NFL GM works. It's, you know, how much money are you willing to invest in a backup quarterback, you know? And so if you have a veteran quarterback who's now your starter and you draft a first round quarterback, boy, he better become a starter pretty quick. And you got to figure out what to do with that backup quarterback.
Yeah. Look at our current room, right? So look at our Rocco Beck, and everybody can assume that he's probably making the most on the team, right? Okay. So that money will be off the books next year. So that comes back in the room, right? All right. So what do you pay a Peter Borg or Will Mentzel right now? And then does Will Mentzel come in and you pay them that Rocco Beck money? Then what are the other people making in the room? What are they going to have? Is that that's a message to them? Like, oh man, they're bringing in the top guy. It's like drafting a quarterback in the first round. Right. Yep. So then that NFL organization, that quarterback, that's like the number two or number three, he knows, oh man, I'm probably on the move. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of a good way to look at it.
There's also a fascinating thing in the Penn State quarterback room this year. They brought in a quarterback from a small school who knows he's not going to start here. Rocco Beck is the starter. But this is a kid who's willing to be the backup, but he's a veteran presence there. If he weren't here and Rocco Beck gets injured, you're no choice but a very inexperienced quarterback. At least you have a guy who's been on the field, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder if that's also going to become more normalized. Bring a veteran guy in who's willing to sit behind somebody. So, you know, we could do an entire show on just how to man the quarterback room. But I want to hit on some of the recruits coming in. And this is how fast and furious it's coming. Full disclosure, we're recording this show on Sunday. Whenever you hear it, maybe you don't hear it till Monday. But as we're recording, you said, oh, by the way, Jim, got a new commitment just now. And so let's talk about him. And that is John Sasek. He's an offensive lineman. Tell us about him.
Yeah, you know, I saw him through the build. I think he came – he was here at one of the first junior days, or he might have been – he came up here pretty early in the year. And then he came back. He came back again this past weekend. Somebody, a Central Catholic offensive lineman, probably projects to be – a swing guy, but probably will end up being an offensive tackle when it's all said and done. Great framed him. I thought like physically, like how broad and how he's structured remind me of the Brown kid that ended up going to West Virginia last year. And if you guys and fans do remember him, he was a physically impressive looking kid. John to me has the same type of structure, not as like built as he was, as Brown was at this time last year, but similar. Athletic, obviously he's playing good ball in the Whippeal. Obviously really good to all continue this pipeline. Central Catholic kids too, to me, always worry me because there's something about ND, Notre Dame. They love coming in there and getting off the line. They just had his teammate commit to was it Notre Dame or Ohio State? Great talent, great coaching. Obviously, this is a really good one for us. We talk about projections and offensive linemen. I would see him trying to compete to become a starter, maybe year three in the field, in the eight-man rotation or something like that after, you know, his redshirt year, hopefully.
Well, we've talked about offensive linemen, you know, being a tough evaluation. So you want to get as much talent in the room as you possibly can. Let's talk about another guy, Mike. I love tight ends. You know I do. I know you do also. They brought in a four-star from South Dakota, Cooper Terwilliger. I see him listed as 6'4", 215 pounds. He was obviously an Iowa State recruit previously. Matt Campbell was able to bring him here. What can you tell us about Terwilliger?
Big Cooper Terwilliger, maybe the first South Dakota player ever in a, that's going to suit up in a Penn State uniform, but he's going to be a good one. He's going to be just like the rest of the traditional tight ends that we've had in the past. Me being part of Fire Moose recruitment, he kind of reminds me of Pat. Pat was actually less recruited, but he is an athletic kid, 6'5", about 230-ish range. He'll probably end up being about 250 when it's all said and done playing at that weight. But all-around guy, this guy, the tight end position from a recruitment standpoint, it's evolved and it's, like, different. It goes through these cycles of what people are looking for. But he's kind of the all-around tight end that I think this staff and Matt Campbell is going to look for. They're going to play with two, three, four tight ends a game, but they all have to be able to block and be able to catch. So he's an all-around guy, athletic, can pass catch, can block, can be a mismatch when you put it out on the slot. It's just going to be fun to see him. And it's going to be fun to see him kind of grow in his frame. He's got a great looking frame already. Like I said, kind of reminds me of Pat. Pat was like around 6'4", 6'5" range. He's about 6'5". And like I said, he's already sitting around 230 range right now. But really excited about him, his family. Got to talk to his dad. And, this is the connection. This kid had a chance to play pretty much anywhere he wanted to. But the connection that they had with Coach Mauser, Coach Campbell, Derek Hoosier went a long way. And people don't really talk about it a lot, but Coach Mauser was the tight end, I believe was the Football Scoop tight end coach of the year. So I know losing our previous coach to Tech, becoming the offensive coordinator, a lot of people wanted to see him stay because he was a good recruiter. I think this is a good sign to people that I don't think we're going to fall short or lose good commits to this position, because Coach Mauser is one of those younger guys that's infectious in on the road when it comes to recruiting. Like, he's just like a cool dude you want to be around, right? Yeah. And he's the offensive coordinator, and he has the resume at the tight end position to attract big time recruits. So, and then Penn State is just icing on the cake. You bring him here, it's just icing on the cake. So, really excited about Cooper. Like you said, me and you love the tight end position. And he has a chance to be another great in that room.
Well, it was great to see that the offensive coordinator is also the tight ends coach. So, you know, it's the position still going to be emphasized. Iowa State was great with their tight ends. Penn State obviously has been so good with them. And it was funny when you talked about he's able to block and catch the ball, do them both. When we had Cooper Alexander on the show a couple of weeks ago that we did, and I asked him, which are you better at? He was very quick to respond, I do both, willingly. So, you know, it's like if you ask a tight end, I think that's always going to be the answer. Mike,
I couldn't say that for myself. I was blocking, period.
Also known as an offensive lineman. That's going to have to be the final word, Mike. Thank you so much. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.